The 5th of November 2019 was a milestone day for climate policy in New Zealand. Parliament passed new laws setting up a series of emissions budgets with support from every party bar ACT. Nearly 5 years on, our ability to meet these targets is looking shaky. In this week's episode, we dig a little deeper into how we got here and what the National-led coalition has done with climate policy since last year's election. Kia ora, ko Anika Smith aho. Anei te pūrongo tō rangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. The government's draft emissions reduction plan, out this week, puts New Zealand's ability to meet its climate targets in jeopardy. That was the key takeaway from RNZ's climate change correspondent, Eloise Gibson, who begins our interview by explaining exactly what an emissions reduction plan is.
This stems from what most people call the Zero Carbon Act. That's not its real name, but that's the easiest thing to call it. And this is a law that set a target of being carbon neutral by 2050. So quite a few countries around the world set that as their target, and a number of countries, including New Zealand, passed it into a law. So this law says we have a climate change commission, which helps the government, gives them expert advice on what level of emissions we can put out each year to be consistent with getting to carbon neutral by 2050. And there's a series of budgets. So each year, the idea is that the country puts out a little bit less emissions than it put out the year before. And gradually, we get down on a trajectory to net zero. The emissions reduction plan is what the government's going to do to get there. So the government has to say, right, this is what we're going to do between, say, 2026 and 2030 to get to where we need to go in the long run. And typically they're divided into sectors, so transport, energy, waste, agriculture, building and housing, and kind of the government departments and the ministers in that area set out the plan to do their bit within their sector.
New Zealand's emissions budgets are bipartisan. Back in 2019, both major parties voted in favour of the Zero Carbon Act that set these budgets into law. It meant that future governments, whether they be led by National or Labour, were committed to capping emissions. The variable in all of this is how to go about it, and this week's emissions reduction plan is the National-led coalition's answer. The coalition's plan includes more EV charges, making emissions-cutting tools available to farmers, and investigating carbon capture and storage. It also wants to slash red tape for renewable energy consents, invest in public transport, and improve organic waste and landfill gas capture. Eloise gave the plan a 2 out of 10 on Morning Report this week. I asked her to explain why.
I did give it a 2 out of 10. I was slightly put on the spot there, but I do stand by the 2. So maybe I'll talk about positive things first. Labor's emissions reduction plan, which was the first of its kind in New Zealand, that came out last year, and I said at the time that it had a vibe of some government departments not really having done their homework. So the Ministry of Transport, for example, had really clear calculations of how much each policy was going to save in terms of emissions and all the different parts of transport in New Zealand and what they could contribute. And that was a really detailed chapter in the plan. But the quality was quite patchy and some of the other areas were quite vague. There were some quite big kind of gaps where we just didn't have an idea of how much emissions would be saved by particular things or kind of, you know, what the plan was. And this was meant to be a plan. So I was a little bit disappointed with the one that came out last year. And positive thing I can say about this one, it is far clearer in terms of the math, you know, how it all adds up between sectors, what each sector contributes, and calculating the impact of various government policies and comparing that to the policy situation that we had a year ago. So it's a great document in terms of that transparency. Where it falls down is the actual result. So the government has delivered on its commitment to give us really clear numbers about the plan and, you know, say what it's going to do. The issue is that when you add it all up, it's pretty clearly not enough. So we are, as a country, going to meet our first emissions budget, and that's not surprising because Firstly, it wasn't a particularly strict budget. It was only a couple of million tonnes a year less than what we would have emitted anyway. And it's kind of just coasting along on, firstly, things that are happening in the economy anyway, which is, you know, people electrifying things, things just naturally getting a little bit lower emissions because that's the cheaper and easier thing to do sometimes, and policies that were already in place. So that's, you know, that's coasting to a win. The next budget, which is the one that was the focus of this particular plan, that goes from 2026 to 2030, and that one looks like it will be met, but less comfortably than it would have a year ago. So partly that is changes to things that the government's got no control over. So Tiwai Point Aluminium Smelter staying open, that contributes a lot to our emissions tally each year. Previously, when they did the modelling, we thought that was going to close, and it's now going to be open for another 20 years. So things like that have made a difference. But also there's been a bonfire of Labor-era climate policies. So there are things that don't make a huge amount of difference. So the EV subsidies, although they're very popular with the public, they did have an impact on emissions, particularly in the future once the fleet started to grow. But it wasn't huge. But there were some other things that were a really big hit to our emissions. So scrapping the government investment in decarbonising industry fund, which gave grants to big companies like NZ Steel to replace their coal boilers. National really hated that policy as being corporate welfare, but the numbers show that it was calculated to have a big impact on lowering emissions. So that's gone. Clean car standards been relaxed, which again has that's the tailpipe emission standards on cars coming into the country. Again, a relatively small impact, but it all adds up, delaying the date when we price agricultural emissions from 2025 to 2050. That has a relatively big impact just because they're such a huge part of our national emissions tally. So when you add all of the things that have been scrapped together, things that replaced them were very light touch. They didn't come with government funding. They were more things like, you know, deregulating or smoothing the path of regulation for things like renewable energy. And when you actually look at how much difference that makes in concrete terms to emissions, it's quite small. In many cases, kind of 100,000 or 200,000 tonnes of emissions when we're talking on the scheme of kind of 70 million being our whole output. So because there wasn't any kind of government funding allocated to cutting emissions, because the previous government used all of the money from the emissions trading scheme to fund climate action, and this government has put that money into tax cuts and hasn't replaced it really with a lot of other funding, there just hasn't been much of a hit in the numbers from the things that National's proposing to do. And so my 2 out of 10 was based on the fact that when you looked at it, the numbers were looking tight, and particularly tight from 2030 to 2035. So we were on track to meet our emissions budget then. We're now on track to miss it by about 17 million tonnes, which is about a third of the total allowance at that point of what the country can put out. And that's obviously not setting us up to be net zero by 2050.
Experts have told RNZ successive governments have fallen short on taking action in the face of the climate crisis, and the National-led coalition is on track to join their ranks. Professor Tim Naish, a climate scientist at Victoria University of Wellington, says scientists are growing increasingly frustrated and scared.
We're frustrated, of course, because we're very aware of where the science is. It's overwhelmingly clear what we have to do to avoid some really unpleasant consequences in our future. We know the time is running out. We know we're already at 1.5 degrees of global warming, which is a key threshold. We didn't want to go past. And so scientists are just frustrated that the information has been available, but it hasn't been used by decision makers in the way it should have. The other area, and the reason we are sort of worried and scared, is that at the moment, we're losing funding in the science system. A number of climate scientists have been made redundant. And there's no clear strategy in New Zealand of how we're going to deal with these problems that are quite bespoke to us. We can't rely on others in other countries to solve these problems. Our agricultural methane problem is a uniquely New Zealand problem that New Zealand scientists need to be working on. Likewise, the impacts of climate change, such as sea level rise because we're a coastal nation. You know, all these very bespoke things that apply to New Zealand require New Zealand expertise.
Climate Change Minister Simon Watts is acutely aware of the challenges in his portfolio. He sat down with me in his Beehive office to talk about his new job and his emissions reduction plan.
The climate change portfolio is probably one of the few portfolios that has such a long forward look, strategic outlook, i.e. 2050 is, you know, 25 years or so from now. And even our short-term goals in terms of by the end of 2030 is, you know, still 78 months away. So, but the policies that we've put out really ensure that we've got a high degree of confidence around how we're going to meet the two initial targets through to 2030, and also set the foundations and framework for us to be able to meet later periods. But obviously, we're going to need to investigate other options and other considerations. But also, the reality is a lot can change. A lot's changed from the first budget that was published by the last government to this one that we've now published. And a lot of that change that we've seen has actually made it harder, but not necessarily because of things that government controls, actually a lot of things that government doesn't control. But it's just the nature of how the forecasting process changes over time.
I assume you're alluding to like TY.
That's right, yeah. So some of the questions have been so why is the overarching emissions changing from prior government to the current government? And we know that about two-thirds of the actual change in the emissions profile comes from things that are outside of government's control. An example of that is TY. There's other examples around other methodological changes that occur. But that's just the reality. Irrespective of the government sitting in the seat, those changes would have occurred. The things that we can control in terms of the new policies that we're putting in place, such as doubling renewables, our focus around innovation for farmers in the ag space, EV charges, etc. Those are new things that we're putting on the table. And yes, we have stopped things that the last government were doing. We've provided a summary of, in effect, the impact of what we've stopped and the impact of what we're starting and the implications of that on the different periods that are under focus.
Given the things that aren't in your control and the effect that that can have on whatever government of the day's ability to reduce emissions, are you factoring that into your thinking for the second and third budget? I'm just trying to kind of get into your approach for this, because if we're on this ERP not going to meet our third budget and there are lots of variables that could come into play between now and then, you know, is it sensible to try and pack as much in as possible and to be coming in under those budgets now versus hoping that things will play out and we'll just we'll make it somehow?
Yeah, well, look, firstly, hope is not a strategy, and it's not a strategy that this government is deploying. We've got a discussion document which outlines the actions that we're going to take in the next 5 years to ensure that we hit our 2030 targets. You're absolutely right. You know, this is the critical decade for action. The actions that we take in the next 5 years will set ourselves up for success or not in regards to the future, and that's not lost on me as the climate minister. We need to do everything we can to ensure we're in a position to be able to meet all of our commitments and targets. And you know, the reality is though with forecasting, is the further one goes out and the further one tries to forecast, the more inherent the variables and the uncertainty around that. But what that is absolutely taken into consideration by us now, and hence in our document, we've also outlined a number of initiatives that we haven't included the impact of in our modelling yet. We've put preliminary estimates, but we have signalled potentially the size and scale and quantity that those initiatives could deliver, which would be additional to what we've published. But we are obviously using the period of the consultation and feedback to be able to firm that stuff up by the end of the year.
I've spoken to a few experts, climate scientists, you know, people that this is kind of what they live and breathe, and you won't be surprised to hear that they feel the ERP takes progress on reducing emissions backwards. What's your response to that?
Well, look, I'd push back on that critique. You know, what this discussion document does do is outline a plan that would enable us as a country to meet the budgets that have been set, both in terms of ending in 2025 and ending in 2030. That is a significant step in terms of that. Those budgets and those emission budgets are stepping stones as we get to 2050. And what we have put on the table is that, yes, we are doing things differently from the prior government, but we're on track in terms of our first two stepping stones. And we are absolutely focused around making sure that we're set up for success in the future.
The National Party may have committed to the emissions budgets 5 years ago, but its plan to meet them has so far fallen short. Simon Watts is counting on variables like methane inhibitor and carbon capture technologies to drive emissions down. There's no doubt the next decade will be crucial for meeting our climate goals, the goals agreed to by both National and Labor half a decade ago. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Annika Smith. Thanks for joining me. Mā te wā.